With Australians living longer and longer, on this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, we look at the topic of early inheritance, and if you're thinking of giving one, what you should be thinking about before you give a gift that can change someone's life.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. I'm Zach Masters, and today I'm joined by Anthony Malvaso from AJM Advisory Group. How you going, Anthony?
Much better when we did our last podcast. It's been a few weeks between drinks.
A few lockdowns between them as well.
It was a shattering day for us yesterday as we were on a bit of a text train. It was lockdowns and the boomers got absolutely hammered by the US. So it was like the day started a lot different, but we're all used to it now. How are you traveling, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. It was pretty flat yesterday, but obviously we're still able to work during these times, so I can't be too upset. One of the lucky ones, so yeah, it's definitely tough.
We're all used to it now. We're all used to it. It's like, there's a case, all right, what's the lockdown going to be? Prepare yourself. It's a sad state of affairs, but unfortunately, we're for the next foreseeable future, you know, we're probably going to have to wear these snap lockdowns, as they call it.
That's it. Well, on to today's episode. So it's kind of sparked me thinking about this because I've had a couple of clients recently that have come to me and start to go, like, oh, I'm thinking about gifting an early inheritance to either kids or grandkids or things like that. And it's something that's obviously probably topical because we've got an aging population. We've got people that are living longer and longer. So that means, therefore, that inheritances are getting received later in life. So gone is the time where people would receive an inheritance and then they'd be able to then purchase their first home with that or so on. The average age, the Grattan Institute did some research, and it's now between the ages of 55 and 59 that people are likely to receive an inheritance. And in all likelihood, that's probably just going to keep going up as people start to live longer and longer. Yep. So is this something you're seeing with your clients?
Yeah, 100%. And so I think we've mentioned a few times people that are in their mid-50s are in that sandwich. They call it a sandwich generation, where they generally may have kids still at home and they may have to help out financially with their parents. So definitely people are, the population is aging, living longer. So people are going to receive possible inheritance later in life. I don't know too many people that are really looking and banking on it, but there are definitely people out there, and you hear cases all the time, and I'm sure we'll go through it.
And that's why, yeah, for a lot of my clients that are in the position where they're wanting to gift and they've got the resources to do it, it's also the thing that they want to be alive and see the gift being used. So see their loved ones, be able to potentially purchase a first home or pay off some of their debt or send a child through private school or grandchild through private school. They want to be alive and be able to see that rather than their funds being used when they've passed away and they are not here to watch the funds be utilized. So I guess when we're talking about gifting an early inheritance, what's the main things that people need to be thinking about?
I'd say the first thing, are you in the position where you can gift? As you mentioned, there's some great reasons that you did mention, like putting, your grandkids through school if your child can't, and there is viable reasons to do so. First thing you need to work out is if you can fund your own retirement, because there's not too many. There's probably a small percentage of people out there that it comes back if it does get to a position where you've been a little overly generous. So I'd say that is definitely the first thing. Obviously, if you are gifting, there's going to be transactions of assets. So there's going to be some costs, taxes. We can go into that a bit deeper. If it's to some people, I've known this coming from a European background, Italian. A lot of people like to do this to try and put themselves in a position where they can receive a bigger age pension. It's not really necessarily the case. We can go through some of those gifting limits and rules. And then also there's a few other things that you want to look at is if the beneficiary, so the child, is in a position that they're best to receive that inheritance. They may not be in the right frame of mind. They might blow it. They may be in a marital situation that's not the greatest because they will be be split. It's an asset that both spouses do inherit. So they're just some of the first things you should be looking at.
I think that first point that you raised, so making sure you've got enough before starting to give some away, I think that's by far the most important part of this discussion. So it's all well and good to have the nice intentions to gift, and everyone obviously wants to help their kids out as much as they can, or their nieces, nephews, grandkids, whoever it might be. But you need to make sure that you're going to have enough to fund your lifestyle and retirement. So something that we do as financial advisors, obviously financial modeling. So putting that, what you've got, so what assets you've got available to fund your retirement, how much do you want to spend in retirement? To live get you the life that you want to live, and making sure that we project for a period past your life expectancy so that those funds in all likelihood won't run out and that we can comfortably fund that. If you get into a stage where your gift might put that in jeopardy, then it's probably something that you need to rethink because you've worked hard for a long period of time. And then it always comes back to, I guess, your competing goals. So what is your number one goal? And I guess there are some people out there that might go, my number one goal is helping my child get into their first home or something like that. And that's fine as well. But if that, making sure that you're financially stable, I think is the biggest point, because you don't want to get to a stage where you've been really generous and then 10 years down the track, you're going, well, hang on, how am I going to fund my lifestyle now? Like something's gone wrong.
You don't want to be living in there anymore. You don't want to be living in their home.
yeah, pretty much.
So that's a dire situation.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that you're looked after first and foremost. So I think that's the most important part. But once you've got that sorted, I guess there's, and you mentioned a couple of those potential things that people need to think about. So the potential pros and cons. So we might start with the cons and then end on a more positive note about how
definitely
the amounts can be used. But you mentioned Centrelink. So talk to us about people trying to potentially gift to save or gain extra access to more Centrelink benefits.
Yep. Well, you can gift up to $10,000 per year within a 5-year period, or $30,000. So if you do it $10,000 per year in a 3-year period, whatever you gift to anyone, or especially children, it won't take off your assessable income. So say you sell your primary residence and you downsize, you've got these funds available. So all of a sudden, they're going to be an accessible asset in the view of Centrelink. So if you are on a full or a part pension, that will affect that. A lot of people do think, and it's crazy that they don't get the proper advice before they make this big transaction of downsizing. It'll have a big effect on your amount of your age pension. If you do give to say $100,000 to your children, that'll only count for $30,000 over a 5-year period. So that $70,000 of that is still going to be accessible in the eyes of Centrelink. So it's not going to really help your Centrelink benefit that much. So that's something that you really want to be careful of. The other main thing was, is the spouse in the best situation or an appropriate situation to be receiving said funds? That might be if it's, in excess of $100,000, $200,000, $500,000 or buying them a new home. If they're in a relationship that's on the rocks, you're essentially maybe giving them, if it's $500,000, might be giving them $250,000 if they do split up. If there's kids involved.
Like that's definitely one of the main points. So on that Centrelink point, before we jump to that next one, like the bad case scenario on that is that you've gifted funds away. You're still assessed to have those funds from a Centrelink perspective, or a majority of those funds, but you don't have those funds working for you. So you're now in a far worse position than you were in before. So that's where it all comes back to making sure that, seek advice to make sure that this isn't going to negatively impact me, because you hear that quite a lot. Like, oh, can I just gift $200,000, then I'll be under and get some Centrelink. Well, no.
Very popular with the Greeks and Italians, I can tell you that. not to generalize that. I've had family members and working in the bank all the years ago, it did come up a lot, and it was a common conversation.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you don't want to be jumping and making these big decisions without double checking, triple checking, seeking advice and making sure that it's not going to impact you in some other ways. But I think that gifting the funds to, say you're gifting the funds to a child and they're in a relationship, like, this is a big factor. So if there is a marital breakdown, or if there's a relationship breakdown between, say, your child and their spouse, those funds are likely, if you've just gifted to them and just given them the funds, they're likely then form part of that marital pool of assets, or that pool of assets, then they'll be getting devised up. So as you said, if you give $200,000 as a gift, say, $100,000 of that is potentially going to your child's spouse in this situation. You might be really happy with that, but I'd say it's highly unlikely that that's the desired outcome you had when you first thought you're going to gift this. So you need to 100%. Be fully aware of that. So there's ways in which you can get around that. So some people get binding financial agreements signed before. The other thing that's becoming quite popular is that some people will give the gift as a loan, so document it as a loan, so that then if there is a relationship breakdown, the loan can be recalled. So that's a way to keep it in the family bloodline per se. But I think if you are going down this path and you're wanting to give funds, significant funds, to a child, for instance, and they are in a relationship, then you need to probably seek legal advice at that stage to go, okay, is this going to be the best way for me? Because there's also little things like whoever you're gifting or the beneficiary of these funds, do they own a business? So what happens if that business goes under? Well, then suddenly your gift becomes part of that, potentially, depending on the way they've got things structured. Like, that might be called upon by creditors. So all these types of things need to be considered, and you probably need legal help to go, okay, what's going to be the best way that these funds will still be protected, the beneficiary can utilize the funds, and how's this all going to play out, but we make sure that we protect the funds.
Absolutely. One other thing is, if it's a child from a previous marriage, that can cause a complication. And this is more, you want to make sure you're on the right, you know, if everything's above board with your current partner, because, you know, that can get quite messy, because the current partner might not be all for you helping, you know, you're a child from a previous marriage. It does sound, I'm not sure if heartless is the right word, but it does happen. One of the best courses I ever had was the estate planning course and the Diploma of Financial Planning, and we did it together as a group, and the person who was running the course, started asking for examples, and the examples came out, and it was quite fascinating. It could have been a reality show. It was quite interesting to see how messy things can get. And on the flip side, if you are helping out one of your kids or one group of grandchildren, if you've got multiple kids, there can be jealousy and, you know, where's my hand in the pie sort of situation. And that's another thing that can be quite common. So you just want to make sure it's going to all work out and what your intentions are delivered.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing. Like, if you're wanting in the end game to be that, say you've got four kids, you want it to be split evenly, 25% each at the end, but you know one kid might need a hand now, like, how are you going to make that fair and equitable down the track? So that's where speaking to a good lawyer that does estate planning can really help kind of settle these doubts that you might have or issues that you've got, and make sure that there's no family fights caused by it, because that's a big thing. Like, yeah, is it fair and equitable for everyone? Is it going to create friction? All these things that potentially can arise as a you just wanting to do something nice for someone. But yeah, these are things that you've got to always be thinking about as well. So an estate planning lawyer will be able to help you with those.
Yeah, 100%.
In terms of, so you mentioned some taxes and things like that, so transaction costs. So a lot of those revolve around if someone's gifting a property. Yeah, so do you want to run us through some of those?
Oh, it's like any transfer of ownership of an asset, whether it's shares or property, there'll be transaction costs, potential capital gains tax. So you really want to, understand what's the full effect of the gifting, say, an asset of substantial value that, you know, there might be just the stamp duty that comes out of the blue that you're like, okay, we didn't factor this. So, and then potential CGT if it's an investment asset. Obviously, if it's equities, there's transaction costs. So there are many, many things to take into account. If it's just cash in the bank, it's a little different. So, and there are, we probably won't get into this much detail, but there, you know, this could have its own sort of podcast, is when is it best to gift and provide inheritance and pass assets on, because there are different tax structures where it depends on how the estate's set up, and you know there can be potential benefits on both sides, but that's probably another podcast in itself.
Yeah, but I think that goes into my next point, is like if you got to the stage where you go, this is appropriate, this is something that I want to do, and like we're obviously biased that we as financial advisors, we think you should probably go and get financial advice. But it's all about now then trying to make that gift go as far as possible. So make that gift go further. So if you are looking to gift, like I think a good thing to do is if you've got a financial advisor, as part of the gift, you have the person you're giving the funds to sit down with that advisor and start to work out a plan for those funds. What's going to be the best way possible? Like commonly we see if someone's giving funds for a first home, have they thought about the first home super saver scheme? Like as an example, a lot of people don't think about that. Love the first home super saver scheme. No one knows about it. Not enough people know about it. So like just little things like that where you go, have I thought about this enough? Like if it's for a grandkid's future education expenses in 10 to 15 years, like should those funds be in an investment bond? Like what are you doing to utilize those funds and make them go further? All 100%. These types of things that people don't think about. Now, I know you mentioned before, like, is the beneficiary in the right place to receive those funds? So are they going to look after the funds and do the right thing with them? And sitting down with an advisor can try and hopefully help that and go, okay, like, here's a plan. Let's stick to this. And this is what we do. And you've got someone checking in on the plan on a constant basis.
Yeah. What you really want to do as well, it's sort of being upfront and honest, but you want to make sure you know that particular beneficiary, the position they're in financially, they may have gambling debts or just debts across the board that you'd be surprised how many people do keep there and get to a situation and it's very secretive and they may not know. They might have a lot of, you know, payday loans or, you know, credit card debt or major credit card debt, and you might just be paying that out, which that might be the intention and at the end of the day, but it might not be your sole intention, which is to help them, you know, put them in a home or help their kids go through college, go through university or schooling, I should say. You want to make sure that they're in a position, you know, one, probably mentally first, they're going to receive, you know, a big financial windfall. And if it's probably the most money they've ever seen, you know, and they want to make sure you probably educate them. This is putting you into second or third gear, giving you a leg up. It's not a free kick, so to speak. It's not just, you know, not work as hard and pursue your own financial goals. We're just giving you a bit of a leg up and a bit of a head start.
Yeah, and I think that's where putting a plan together with those funds can be a good way to get them started. Like it's always good to seek financial advice no matter what stage of your life you're at necessarily. So that can be a good kicker to go, all right, let's get started and put together a plan for these funds, especially if you're gifting a significant amount of funds. Like there might be better uses for it than what you potentially think or maybe what the beneficiary wants to do with those funds. So just trying to make your gift go further and go as far as possible and make each dollar work is that's, I think, the main point in all of this. Is there anything else that you'd leave with or anything you think we've left out?
I think we've covered a lot of it, because you want to make sure where you are, that your current partner, if it's not your if it's your kids from another parent, your kids are in the great position. Make sure all kids are sort of on the level, and then making sure that you give you your child a leg up, and it's your fun, your better, your gift, or better, you know, their early inheritance is what you want for them and what they want, but mainly what you want, because you've worked you're the individual who's, you know, built this financial position. You're giving a, I mean, it's a great thing to do, and it's probably what a lot of people do receive. You want to make sure that it's what your desire and your objective is met at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think that's the point that I'll leave most people with, is if this is the path that you're wanting to go down, make sure you get financial advice, get legal advice, to kind of really make sure that it works for your particular situation. So make sure your retirement planning's super tight, so that you can definitely do it. You can do it easily, and you'll have funds way past your expected life expectancy. Make sure that what you want the funds to go towards, or what you want the funds to be used for, that's what happens. So make sure that you don't lose half the funds to a potential ex-spouse of the beneficiary in the future, or all those different types of things that sometimes when everyone's happy and things are going well, people don't think about. Part of our job as advisors is to always think about the worst case scenario of what could happen. And we hope that it never happens, but these are things that you have to think about, especially when you're gifting a significant sum of money. So I think those are the main points that I'd leave people with.
Also, the last thing I would say is, I think what the last 18 to, well, I think, well, I don't know how far we're into COVID, a lot of the world's changed, and your position may have changed. And it might financially, it might have been not been too different, especially if you're, you know, a retiree, if you probably pension, if it depends on how it's invested, your pension's gone, you know, in the right direction, and property prices haven't really dropped. You're not making much out of the bank and of the, you know, bank interest rates, but you just want to be sure that we don't know where the world's going. This has shown us who knows when we can travel, when we can do things. You just want to care. This, you just want to add a, you want to make sure you're really going to make it. It goes back to the initial point. Make sure you're in the right position, and obviously factor in any potential changes that may occur.
Definitely. Well, I think that's pretty much it on this topic. I've written a blog, so I'll link that in the show notes. But as always, if you've got any questions, email us at connect@picada.com.au. Otherwise, we'll see you for the next episode. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Zach.